Hello, this is Dr. Jeffrey Glad, and today we'll be mapping nutrient depletions on the 15-minute matrix.
Welcome to the 15-minute matrix. I'm Andrea Nakayama, functional medicine nutritionist and your host. This is the podcast that brings you bite-sized insights and lessons on how to use the most important tool in functional medicine and functional nutrition. Today on the 15-minute matrix, I'll be talking with Dr. Jeffrey Glad. Dr. Glad, MD, graduated from Indiana University School of Medicine in 2001. In 2006, he lost 50 pounds, transforming both his personal and professional focus toward true health care. He is a 2009 graduate of the University of Arizona Integrative Medicine Fellowship. While in the fellowship, he served as the medical director of a hospital-based integrative practice, and in 2010, spun off and launched GLAD MD Integrative Medicine, a direct pay consultative practice. Dr. Glad is a regular speaker on physician entrepreneurship, social media, and technology in healthcare. In 2008, he founded and launched PureHealthMD.com, a website housing professionally authored health content. In 2010, he and his partners successfully sold the content to the Discovery Channel. And in 2011, he created and launched the web's first nutrient depletion calculator called Mitovin.com. In episode 51 of the podcast, we talked about nutrient density with my dear friend Mickey Trescott. That's a great one to listen to after Jeff and I dive in and talk nutrient depletions. So let's get started. Welcome to the 15-Minute Matrix, Jeff. I'm super excited to have you here.
I'm happy to be here.
I am thrilled to talk to you about the topic of nutrient depletion because it's really the second tier of my whole three-tier system, deficiency to sufficiency. And there's so many reasons why a patient can be nutrient deficient. So let's start by just defining nutrient deficiency.
It's super gray, right? Because yes. You got the, are you truly deficient on a blood test, which mm-hmm. I think is pretty fully compromised, ill, heavy side effect stuff. But then you've got sort of this suboptimal nutrient status, which is probably for most of the nutrients that we look at in our practice, it is probably just the bottom half of normal. So again, most doctors are sort of checking off and saying, hey, you're normal. Your B12 is 330.
Right.
But that's 100 points short of being truly deficient, and optimal is probably more like 1,000 to 1,200. We know a lot of the reactions that things like magnesium and B12 and B6 are involved in, but certainly much more, right? I mean, just enzymatic reactions and methylation and all these other things, like you've just got to be robust in nutrient sufficiency to run a healthy body. So it's a big deal, you know, and obviously you get those nutrients from nutrition, from supplementation. The big part nobody really thinks about very often is, are we actively depleting these nutrients beyond just using them?
What you're talking about is what we call the pathological ranges versus the functional ranges, right? I've seen many a client who is deficient in iron, but it doesn't come up as an L on their lab test, and their doctors tell right. them they're fine, where we could just look at them and tell that they're iron depleted or have some sort of anemia. So there's many reasons why a person could be deficient in nutrients, as you noted. If we look at the left side of the matrix, the part I like to think of is the story. Are there things that people are coming into the world that might be antecedents? Like if we're the fourth born child, are we more depleted in our essential fats? Are there things like that that we might see that we just come into the world with?
Good question. I'm not aware of data that speaks to sort of birth order and how that might impact things. I mean, I think the big one in terms of being brought into the world is the microbiome side of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the vaginal birth, healthy microbiome to start with, breastfeeding, healthy microbiome to start with. I mean, it's those good bugs that do a lot of the conversion of essential fatty acids for absorption, vitamins and minerals for absorption. So I think that would probably be the big flag. It's certainly something all of us are thinking about in terms of autoimmunity and inflammation, but probably not often thinking about it in terms of ability to just absorb the basic nutrients from our diet. So things like antibiotics during pregnancy, antibiotics early on in life, C-section births, bottle feeding. I mean, those would probably be the big headlines in the antecedent section.
And then triggers we can certainly look at, as I know you have a history of medications beyond antibiotics, and the pathophysiology of those medications is depleting nutrients in a lot of instances. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, and there's lots of data to make those connections. There's not a lot of great data in how it happens, but there's plenty in terms of what medications are responsible for the depletion of which nutrients. It's a big topic, and it's one of my favorite things to talk about. I, back in 2011, created Mitovin as a calculator to help myself, but also practitioners use it. It's a free tool for providers and patients, because if a practitioner sits with a patient and that patient is trying to start and establish a relationship, it's an amazing tool for saying, well, look at this. You've come to me with five very concerning symptoms. You're on six medications. If we run the calculation here, the data and all the links are there in terms of the references shows us why you may be suffering from most of these symptoms. It may just be nutrient depletion. Let's go into that. Let's talk about that. Let's potentially supplement or eat in a way that builds up those nutrients. And then obviously what we're all motivated to do is let us help you get off of some of these medications and minimize the need for the extra supplementation maybe.
And it's amazing how in today's systems, the medication starts being stacked on top of each other to deal with symptoms that may in and of themselves be a nutrient deficiency. I mean, I can think of statin drugs and CoQ10 or metformin and B12. Any others top of mind that you know you can share with clinicians here?
I think the other obvious one is the proton pump inhibitors, right? So suppressing good acid one. And the iron and the magnesium and the B vitamins. I would say the one that shocks a lot of people and most people don't think about, but is incredibly common, is birth control pills and just hormones in general, right? I mean, you're talking about the potential for losing multiple B vitamins, magnesium, zinc, and spin that forward then and say, okay, what does a woman who's on birth control pills or a teenager 5 years down the road, because everybody just keeps refilling this because we want to prevent getting pregnant or we want to handle heavy bleeding. But fast forward 5 years, magnesium, B vitamin, zinc deficiency, I mean, depression.
Yes.
Fatigue.
Yeah.
Bigger issues that we never really addressed early on. And now again, as you said, let's add more medication to deal with those, which also has other depletions. And so it's just this really toxic, concerning cycle that, again, nobody's thinking about, but is pretty low hanging fruit as a practitioner if you just have some of this knowledge at your fingertips.
If we move away from the story and into the soup, the central part of the matrix, I always think it's interesting to see patients who are eating the quote unquote perfect diet and yet they're still experiencing malabsorption. This, of course, gets us into both the gastrointestinal and the structural integrity nodes. How do you see imbalances in those systems contributing to a patient's nutrient deficiencies?
Lots of ways, right? I mean, the whole digestive function is essentially largely about absorbing this piece. And so whether it's the microbiome, whether it's movement and peristalsis through the digestive tract, you know, again, blends in all kinds of inputs, whether it's stress, whether it's poor sleep, whether it's any of these other factors, but certainly, you know, eating it or swallowing it is certainly the starting point to try to get nutrient sufficiency. But then you've got to have that healthy functioning digestive tract to get it where they need to go.
I always like to say it's the symbiosis, right? It's not just the food. It's where the food meets the physiology. And if the body can't utilize it, can't break it down, we're not getting to that place of sufficiency. And we have to do some internal healing there. You mentioned autoimmunity when we were talking about the microbiome and the antecedents. This is a place where the body can get very confused with an immune reaction to nutrients that are coming into the body. Do you see ways in which the immune system in particular is contributing to deficiencies in nutrients?
I've not seen that in terms of, you know, reviewing research to connect it or in my practice getting so microscopic to sort of see that directly.
Right.
I mean, obviously, we talk a lot about how inflammation in and of itself is a stress. And going down that process of what does stress do and the adrenal overfunction and poor sleep. And so it likely, I would say, indirectly affects nutrient sufficiency just because we're burning up so many nutrients trying to compensate for that stress response.
Right.
Again, on the surface of it, those are the kind of things I would think about, particularly in a way that a patient can understand and sort of help build that roadmap for getting things back in balance.
As we move around the matrix, I just can think in a popcorn style, all the ways in which nutrient deficiencies could be implied, not necessarily tested. If we think, for instance, about environmental inputs, making the body, like you said, work harder for what it does need to use to detoxify, yeah, to manage, and then it's depleting itself because of just regular exposures that might be overwhelming for that individual. Is there anything else when you look at the central part of the matrix that pops out at you from your research and practice?
Going into sort of the idea of hormones and neurotransmitter range, right? I mean, how do those get built and constructed? It's the nutrients that we have to intake and have to absorb and have to hold on to. So even just the production of the essential pieces of running the body in a balanced, healthy way, we need all these building blocks, right? I mean, when you talk about nutrients, you think about B12, you think about magnesium. We don't often think about amino acids, right? Same kind of thing. I mean, these are nutrients too. And so even just sitting down for a meal and chewing our food,
yeah,
is an essential component of getting those pieces, getting these essential building blocks for everything the body needs to run normally absorbed into the body. So yeah, we can blame the microbiome or we can blame the medication, but let's also put some blame on ourselves and say, are we catering and cultivating a healthy lifestyle from even just the essence of chewing?
It's such a good point. And you said amino acids can be deficient. I like to remind people that hormones and neurohormones can be deficient. But also, if we head over to that mind, spirit, emotions, community sector, there's so many things that can be deficient in the body and impacting our health. And I know you really put an emphasis on the care in healthcare, which I love and applaud and also support. And I see that people could have deficiencies in love, in relationships, in hope, mm-hmm, in addition to, like you said, vitamin D, vitamin B12, hydrochloric acid. There's so many ways we experience deficiencies. Do you find that the kind of care you are bringing to your patients starts to crack that open and allow for a different level of healing?
It is something that I'm aware of. It's something that I continue to try to facilitate. It's a really tough thing to try to bridge. It's really sort of the beauty of what I call the art of medicine, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you introduce this and how do you present it to patients? And this is just an honest statement from my practice, not anything outside of that, but our utilization of a health coach has really allowed that bridge to happen. People are coming to see me because they want the data, they want some of the testing done, they want to know the science. So it's my job to allow that to be the entry point, but then to facilitate the discussion in what I believe are the most important pieces, right?
Yeah.
Are you exercising and not walking on a treadmill while answering texts?
Right.
Are you part of community? Are you practicing forgiveness? Are you, mm-hmm, practicing and strong in a spiritual life? And so it's not always easy for me to do that and spend the time to do that for the patients to walk away and say, well, that the cost of that visit was worthwhile. So to me, the health coach has allowed a very unique and powerful opportunity for it's less expensive at the health coach rate. She's quite frankly better at connecting at that level also.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guiding that, coaching that, leading that, both in referring to her, but also working back and forth. So to me, you know, it's also community from the practitioner standpoint, like working together is gigantic in being able to bring that to patients.
Partnership is so important, and every patient does deserve a team, and we bring different eyes to it and different scopes to the case. And that I do think also addresses deficiencies. So if we go over to what I call the skills section of the matrix, that right hand side, we talked about eating well and talked about the microbiome and community and making sure the digestive system is functional, you know, can really do what it's supposed to do with food. We also talked a little bit about stress and the reduction of medications when possible. What else do you do to address nutrient deficiencies that you can either tell from the medication or the diet or that you test for? How do you address these?
I'm big on trying to minimize the burden of testing, just in terms of doing it, but also, more importantly, the cost of it, right? Mm-hmm. So we can get 80 pages of data and we can walk through all that. But that was one moment in time. And again, it's a big expense, and talk about stress, we're adding that stress. So I typically start in terms of our practice with just some of the basics, right? Let's get a B12 level, let's get an iron level. And let's use that as sort of a broader brush of absorption, sufficiency. We may go after some of the more specifics based on the medication list, but that would be sort of the formal investigation part of that. But again, like the side effect burden of this, of the repletion, whether it's food or supplements, is pretty darn low. So if you've got someone who has the symptoms that match up with the deficiency or suboptimal level, they're certainly at risk for that. Starting them on that without data is an acceptable thing. Yes. Again, knowing the side effect burden is low, the cost of entry is pretty low. Most of these supplements can be gotten at a reasonable price. So we may just trial the beginning of, hey, let's just do this and see where it goes.
I love this approach, Jeff. It's really solid and sound and brings us in from what I like to think of as the soil instead of always looking for the root. It's really looking at depletions and non-negotiables as opposed to just searching for this information when there's some obvious things we can do that would really shift the terrain in which those roots exist. So thank you so much, Jeff. Such a treat to talk to you.
Oh, it was my pleasure. It was great.
The 15-Minute Matrix is brought to you by me, Andrea Nakayama, and the Functional Nutrition Alliance. The 15-Minute Matrix team includes music by my son, Gilbert Nakayama, and Carla Schaefer on sound production, as well as Renee Hunt, Natalie Merrill, and Christine Shook. You can visit us and hear more episodes at 15minutematrix.com. And if you'd like to be notified each time there's a new podcast episode, please go to 15minutematrix.com/notify. That will allow us to drop into your inbox with a short reminder that a new episode is ready for you. You also have an open invitation to email us. Please do. We want to know who you'd like to hear on the podcast and what you'd like to see mapped on the 15-Minute Matrix. You can always email us at ask@15minutematrix.com.